Monday Morning Joe podcast is presented by Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors, Inc. Save $25, $50, or even $100 off your current payment during the Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai Summer Clearance event. Plus, every new vehicle purchased is backed by their exclusive nationwide lifetime warranty. Nationwide lifetime warranty. That's no joke. And every purchase comes with 1 year free maintenance. Shop online at LakelandAutomall.com or stop by their new showrooms on West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland. I-4, exit 28, just minutes from Tampa. It's really not a tough trip at all. Brandon or anywhere else in Central Florida, very close, easy to get to. Lakeland Automall, where they are exceeding customer expectations every day. Now at Discount Garage Doors, you get a same-day free service call to get an estimate and a diagnosis. Most companies don't do that. They charge for it. Discount Garage Doors, Inc. does not. Give them a call, 866-420-DOOR, 866-420-DOOR. That's 1-866-420-DOOR. They service the entire Tampa Bay area. They will beat any comparable estimate. Of course, they sell new garage doors, lots of different types of doors in stock. Discount Garage Doors is family-owned and operated since 2000. You get 10% off with your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. And remember, they're open 7 days a week. 7 days a week. You can get your garage door repaired on a Saturday. Give them a call anytime, 1-866-420-DOOR. Welcome to Monday Morning Joe, the podcast. This is what, week six, week five? I don't know. We're new, but we're getting old real quick. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com. I'm one of the founders, one of the writers, one of the Joes here at Joe Bucks Fan. And I know a lot of you are new to the podcast, checking it out for the first time. It's that time of year where some Bucks fans are just really starting to pay attention again. But we're new, and I know people are listening to the episodes for the first time on iTunes and whatever. So welcome. Thank you. The audience continues to grow. It's just me on this podcast, and my goal is sort of just to, you know, give you maybe a little something different, a little bit deeper than what you're reading on Joe Bucks Fan, and give you my take. Look, I have been covering the Bucks daily for 9 years. This is my 10th season. And even before that, when I was at the Tampa Tribune, when I worked in sports and in news, I was not on the Bucks beat, but I did help out with certain Bucks coverage, was inside one Buck place doing some different projects and things. So, you know, I've been around a while, and hopefully I can bring you some of that perspective. And of course, as many of you know, I do talk to Team Glazer every year at the owners' meetings. Last year, actually, Ira Kaufman, our great columnist, had separate sessions with the Glazers. So Ira got about, I don't know, whatever, 10, 15 minutes. I got the same. And then Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times had his 10 or 15 minutes. And that was it. That was the only interviews the Glazers granted there at the owners' meetings. And it's been like that for a few years. So that's pretty cool. And gives me some different perspective. It gives me an opportunity to talk to Team Glazer at training camp and chat and all that stuff. So, you know, a lot of times people think, hey, Joe, you're an idiot. What do you know? Who do you talk to? I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. We are in touch with Jason Light. We do talk to Jason Light, just like other media does. I don't know how much they do, but Jason Light is definitely a source of ours. So are other people within the organization. And I'll leave it at this. Dirk Cutter, how many exclusive interviews did he do after last season? I believe the only one he did was with the Ira Kaufman podcast. Dirk was kind enough to sit down with us for 20 minutes or so on the record and a little bit more off the record. So, you know, I think we come with some credibility here. I believe I do on the podcast, but I'm not looking to boast. I'm just sort of saying who we are, who I am for the new audience. As you guys come in, many of you heard me for years on Steve Dumig's show, the Joe Bucks Fan Hour, which got pulled because of our podcasts are too popular from 620 WDAE. So you've heard my voice and some other places as well. But I just thank you for being here. And I thank Discount Garage Doors, our sponsors, as well as Lakeland Automall, Ford Hyundai. Two quick things on that. At Lakeland Automall, you can also go to lakelandford.com if you're looking for a Ford. And if you go there and you find your lowest internet price, because they only publish the lowest price, you can still contact Sean Sullivan, a manager at Lakeland Ford, Lakeland Automall Ford Hyundai, and tell him you're a Bucks fan. Tell him you're a stick carrier. Tell him that you listen to the Monday Morning Joe podcast. He's going to give you an additional $500 off the new vehicles that you would see at lakelandford.com. So that's pretty darn cool. and you can talk Bucks with Sean, big Bucks fan. Over at Discount Garage Doors, I can't emphasize enough what a great company this is. They service all the way out to Orlando, big growing company from the Tampa Bay area, all local, also Bucks fans. And you can use your Joe Bucks fan code, but also on Twitter. If you search for Discount Garage Doors, they are giving away a brand new garage door and a garage door opener to one of their Twitter followers very soon. All you got to do is follow them on Twitter. And they don't tweet that much, maybe once every other day or something. It's not anything offensive or annoying, but you'd have a shot at winning, which is a great, great prize. Absolutely, to be sure. So thanks to them. Now, the 53-man roster is in. But there's a game on Sunday. Holy crap. I mean, I'm just one of these guys who struggles to get through all the non-months of football season. It's just the reality. And covering the team, when you're in that mindset and it's like, oh man, practice, practice, practice. You just want to see a game. And then the preseason games come and you know it's just sort of phony football. It's nice to see guys going up one-on-one and having to meet their limited assignments and beat the guy in front of them, but it's not real football. It's not real play calling. If you're not trying to win, if you're not doing everything you can to win, it's not real football. But now we're here. We've got real football, and to me, this is just fantastic stuff. If you're going to Miami to the game, I think there's going to be about 4,000 or 5,000 Bucks fans out there. I got a much bigger vibe from all the people we hear from at Joe Bucks Fan as far as traveling fans. And, of course, Miami's close. And I think this Hurricane Irma, though, is going to hurt. I really do because, you know, you don't want to get stuck in a hurricane to watch your Bucks getting home out of that. If there's evacuations, we'll see how that actually goes. But I think there'll be a strong showing regardless at that Miami game on Sunday. We're actually hosting a party the night before. FanRetreat.com is hosting the party. Go to FanRetreat.com/Miami, and it's free. Free beer, free food, free Ira Kaufman. Ira is going to be doing an insider Q&A. I'm not going. I will be at Abe's Place for the Bucks game for our huge watch party. Abe's Place in Clearwater. It's an official Stick Carriers event. Justin Pulaski will be out there. It's going to be rocking. We've got some great giveaways. Jerseys, hats, collectibles. They will all be given away by 12:30. By 12:30 because we don't want any distractions during the game or yelling and screaming at halftime to draw the numbers. Get there early. Abe's Place food is amazing. Amazing fresh food. Abe's has a long reputation. All the details are at joebucksfan.com. Now, the roster moves, the big move is this trade for TJ Ward, the Broncos safety, three-time Pro Bowler, I believe 2013, 2014, and 2015. Pro Bowler, 30 years old. Guy's the real deal. He's a real deal championship caliber safety coming from a great program, from a dominant defense. He's got a ring. And he was cut. Now, it's easy to say, why was he cut? And there's always a reason. But it's not always a bad reason. It really always is not. It's easy to fall into that trap of, oh, this guy cut him. You know, that's one of the ways that I disagree with the other Joe, Lee DeCamper, who you hear on the Ira Kaufman podcast. You know, he's very quick often to say, hey, this another team's trash. And I just can't go there as quickly because not every team is good at evaluating players. Some guys are more system guys, and sometimes it is about money and the future and who's behind him. Now, in the case of TJ Ward, they like the guys behind him in Denver. These are young guys, and they like him. And Ward was due to make $4.5 million, and John Elway made a judgment call here. Decided to cut him. It was not popular in the locker room. I linked to a story from the Denver Post at Joe Bucks Fan when rumors were floating at the end of preseason with the Broncos that Ward might be traded. The locker room was freaking out. They were in disbelief, and the move was not popular. Players spoke out, including Von Miller, and they didn't want to lose this guy. So, and even John Elway gave a very detailed explanation saying, you know, it's not always an easy decision, and he didn't always agree with decisions that front offices made when he played, which I thought was very telling that Elway acknowledged publicly that, yeah, I know the team doesn't like this move. So I don't think the Bucks are getting a piece of garbage by any stretch. Now, Ward has had some hamstring issues. We can't pretend that doesn't exist. So he's had some hammy issues. And the communication issue is key because that was the killer for the Bucs defense last year. Communication, the safeties, linebacker communication was all screwed up. That's what we were told. That's what we could see. And we were led to believe that was the downfall of the defense because what the Bucs told us is the reason they had such a drastic, successful turnaround was because the communication was improved. So in comes TJ Ward, and he doesn't know this defense, doesn't know this defense at all, doesn't have a tie to Mike Smith. He's just walking in week one, and that is a tough spot to communicate well within your defense. Let's just be real. That is a tough situation. So the Bucs must think he is so good, such an upgrade over what they have, that the communication challenges won't be a problem. That's really all we can conclude. So I think that's interesting. It's something to definitely watch, what the communication looks like. I think there's two other big factors to the trade. One, Justin Evans. Bucs second round pick, he's a safety. We have to, again, be real. We always have to keep it real on this podcast. If the Bucs were super high on Justin Evans, if he was a starting caliber player, even a lower caliber starter right now, I think he'd be playing. But he's not. The guy's just not ready yet. And that's okay. It should be okay. I understand Bucs fans are going to freak out. Jason Light, oh, it blew another second round pick and all the whole rhetoric that gets thrown out there. But it's okay to have a second round pick who needs a little time to develop, who isn't a star as a rookie. Monty Kiffin rarely would start rookies. It just wasn't in the DNA of the defense, which was deep and wasn't really how Dungy and Kiffin believed in necessarily moving forward with all of their rookies. And there were good, you know, many examples of guys who took a little time and then flourished once they were there in the system a year or two. Now, on the flip side, yes, Tanard Jackson, if we remember him, Tanard Bongs Jackson, he came in 2007, I believe, 2007, I think it was 06, I don't remember. But he came in and was lights out in his rookie season. And it was a shift for Kiffin to drop a late round pick into the fire, and he was great. So that said, Justin Evans is going to be a backup on this team this year. And that's okay. It should be okay. Bucs fans should be cool with that. Can they teach him how to tackle better? Sure, they can work on that with him. Doesn't mean he's not going to play, and he might be pressed into action. But bottom line is the Ward signing means, in part, that Evans is not the guy. Not going to be the guy this year who you're going to see very, very much. And I think that's okay. I'm going to write something a little later this week. I was doing a little research on second-round draft picks and other teams and the percentages of success with Jason Light versus other clubs, including the Patriots. And I think a lot of you are going to be very surprised. Jason Light takes a lot of heat for his second round picks. There have been some notorious busts like Austin Seferian Jackwagon and Roberto Aguayo, to name a couple. But you know, percentage-wise, this is a very tough league. Last thing I'll say about the trade is the mentality. Trades are often about mentality, a team's mentality toward their season and their roster and their development. TJ Ward is very much a win now move. He's better than JJ Wilcox. The Bucs saw an opportunity to not only bring in a guy who was better, but a playoff cog, a championship cog, a guy who you envision making your team significantly better in January. That's what TJ Ward is. That's what I think this move is about. And it's exciting. It's exciting for Bucs fans to have that. I mean, let's face it. The Bucs were planning to start Tandy and Conti. So they can still do that. But the TJ Ward move, I think, is more about winning later, getting him acclimated and being a playoff cog. And that's exciting. That's the mentality of this organization right now. Dirk Cutter, God bless him, he hasn't stepped away from the pressure once. He will never undercut his expectations for this team publicly. He wants the pressure. He embraces the pressure. A lot of coaches, you know, start giving you the one game at a time babble, the, oh, well, we haven't accomplished anything yet, and it's a process, and we have a lot of room to grow and all this stuff. And Cutter says that, but he never drops the expectations of the team. I mean, he'll tell you, look, we expect to make a Super Bowl, and that's the reality, and we're good, and I've never seen more talent on a Bucks team since I've been here. And this is a very talented roster. And he's, when he says that, he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. And that's the mindset of the organization. The Glazers want to win now and expect to win now. Jason Light, his job is on the line. His job is on the line. He does not have a new contract yet. Until otherwise notice, he's got his job is on the line. Go listen to Bucks Uncensored, the podcast. Chris Myers, the Buccaneers preseason host, the famous guy. You see him on Fox Sports now as well, and he's been on ESPN. I mean, older guys like me remember Chris Myers from his OJ interviews and his great work on ESPN. Chris Myers talks in his interview today on Bucks Uncensored about Jason Light's job security. And it's a real deal. Jason Light needs to be successful this year. And that's the whole mentality of this team is win now. I like it. I think it's great. Great for the town. Great for the organization. Sometimes those things backfire when you get a little too win now, get a little too bold. But I think the Ward move is a good move for this team. I don't see anything negative about it, especially since there's no pressure to stick him in the lineup on day one, which is Sunday in Miami. Now, of course, the roster was finalized, 53-man roster over the weekend. And bear with me, I've got a cold, real bad cold, people, today that I'm getting over. So there might be a cough or two coming up here, hopefully not. Anyway, the 53-man roster, Bernard Reedy made it as the fifth receiver. He's the number five guy. And interesting, in the final preseason game, or the second to last one, I don't remember which one, doesn't really matter, Rondé Barber, who talks regularly with Jason Light and is a bit of a fixture at One Buck Place, he talked about how the organization wanted Freddie Martino to win the job because of his size and his ability on special teams and his versatility in the passing game. They wanted Martino to win. This is Rondé talking. But Martino wasn't getting it done the way they wanted to. So Reedy was doing everything they asked of him. But if you listen to Dirk Cutter, all the quotes he had about Bernard Reedy was that, well, Reedy is doing what we ask of him, but he's not an outside guy. And sort of, it was as if Cutter was saying he's done great, but he's just not what we're looking for. However, he made the team because he was so successful and they can feel a comfort level with him, where Martino is on the practice squad because he just couldn't get it done, was not inconsistent in preseason and all through training camp. He and Josh Huff, Freddie Martino and Josh Huff, got so much time with the first team in training camp. It was almost as if they were forcing it. I think I brought this up on a previous podcast. But they just weren't performing consistently at all in practice. And so there you go. Bobo Wilson, whose reputation was slammed on Hard Knocks a little bit because they, you know, that creative, I don't want to call it creative editing with Wilson, but, you know, if he's bitching to a teammate or an assistant coach, an assistant to an assistant coach, you know, that, you know, I can't fault a guy for expressing himself and make him, you know, sort of say that he is not a good teammate. Maybe it's not the best attitude, but the, you know, 93 degrees out, you're practicing, heat of battle, something gets under your skin. If you want to vent to a teammate or an assistant coach, I don't think that speaks to your whole work ethic of an entire training camp and off season. You know, he was there for the off season. So, Bobo Wilson, congratulations. You played well in the fourth preseason game. You made the practice squad. He showed he was had a little bit of juice in his legs and he could return kicks. You never know when a guy like that can show up. Look at 2015, when out of nowhere, Adam Humphries and Dante Dye were called on to contribute. They did. It just wasn't enough to get the Bucks over any kind of hump. Now, also on the receiver spot, I think it's fair to ask the question. Russell Shepard was our number five receiver last year. Russell Shepard. Now he's in Carolina. He was good as a number five, overmatched when asked to, you know, produce like a number one or a number two, but he was solid at what he did. He was versatile, excellent special teams player, knew the offense, was young. He was a special teams captain. He was close with Dirk Cutter, and he was pretty good. He was a good number five receiver, but he's gone. They let him walk out the door because they didn't want to pay him number three receiver money. He sort of got bad number three receiver money in Carolina. They didn't want to pay him. Now, all that effort to go through all these receivers in training camp, Bobo Wilson and Martino and Huff and Darrell Walker, the CFL guy who got cut, and Bernard Reedy. Wouldn't it have just been easier to pay an extra couple million bucks for Russell Shepard? Interesting question. I hope this is the 1 year out of three. Out of the last two, we've had to rely on that number five receiver. I sincerely hope that this is the year that Bernard Reedy or whoever else is our number five never shows up and is just an afterthought and is a trivia question and is a guy who maybe catches one ball in one game and just is not something that not somebody who is a serious part of the team. So hopefully we're in that boat. But otherwise, you should have kept Shepard. He was better than Reedy. I don't think there's any question about it. So there's a game on Sunday, and we've been doing a little bit on JoeBucksFan.com of Dolphins Watch, sort of giving a look at some things going on in Miami. And I've been posting most of those really for the last 2 weeks, every other day or so, throwing up something on the Dolphins. And one of the important things to note about the Dolphins is that they are going to run the ball. They're going to pound the ball. That is their goal. That is their mission. They have Jay Ajayi, and that while they have receivers and Cutler can throw deep, they need to establish the ground game. That's how they win. That's how they won last year. And the Bucs defense, that was their weakness last year, was run defense. That was the weakness. So there's a great matchup brewing there. You've got an undrafted rookie, a guy who's been on practice squads for the last couple of years for Miami. He is slated to start at left guard. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how good this guy might be or how well he's playing. To walk into the NFL in your opening game after, you know, not being some sort of rookie superstar, a couple years on the practice squad, he's out of Idaho. His name is Jesse Davis. To walk in and have to play against Gerald McCoy, that should be a huge mismatch for the Bucs. That should be a big opportunity for the Bucs. Also, Pouncey, Pro Bowl center for Miami, he's coming off an injury. This is his first game back. This is when you want to get Pouncey when he's not at full football conditioning, when he's missed a lot of time. And while he's an excellent player, this is the time to get him. So this is a huge opportunity for the Bucs defense. This is where I believe the game is going to be won by the Buccaneers. I do believe they're going to win, and I believe it's because the run defense is going to show up. I definitely believe that wholeheartedly. They have that opportunity here, and they've got to take advantage. The Bucs D-line is healthy. Clinton McDonald, strong training camp. Chris Baker, he's healthy. He's healthy. So I don't know how much what his effort is, but he's healthy and he's ready. Robert Ayers also healthy, had a very strong training camp early, but sort of faded a little bit in the preseason games. But he is strong and ready, and you're looking at a Dolphins team starting a guy who couldn't beat out Ted Larson. Ted Larson, the former Buccaneer, the journeyman, who's not very good. He was supposed to be the left guard for Miami starting, and now we've got this undrafted guy, Jesse Davis. And it's a huge, huge opportunity for the Bucs, I see. And Pouncey is back. I watched that last preseason game, the third preseason game of the Dolphins. I think he played maybe 10 snaps. And this is coming after being out for a while. So it's a good opportunity for the Bucs there. And I think that's where they win this game, is by stopping Miami on the ground. Will Golston, he's been very quiet through training camp, quiet through preseason. But, you know, his game is run stuffing. And that's sometimes a little bit tougher to show up in training camp with that. Bucs are in a good spot because they have their health and because of the Miami's offensive line situation. Hey, I've got to let you know that through the magic of editing, that's why you've missed me coughing up a lung and just dying on the vine here. I've been sick for the last few days. I thought I could get through the podcast, but I am struggling big time. And thanks for bearing with me. Although you're not hearing me dying, I'm going to be cutting it off a little bit shorter today than usual, just because it's just been such a struggle. However, hopefully it hasn't been a struggle for you to listen to. I don't think so, again, because of the magic of editing. As far as an additional matchup in Miami, I am looking at what Dirk Cutter does with this offense. Are we going to see a transformation of the Buccaneers' offense? That's perhaps the number one thing I'm looking at. Will Dirk Cutter decide to use his weapons, his biggest weapons, most often, and use the pass to set up the run? that is really one of the big questions of this season is, will Dirk Koetter do what he did in 2012 with the Falcons? Pass first, run second. A lot of people remember that Falcon team. Yeah, they had Michael Turner, and everybody thought of Michael Turner as a big beast thing, brooding, bowling ball type of runner who was just chewing it up on the ground for the Falcons. And he was that type, but he was on his way out. That 2012 Super Bowl Falcons team, or excuse me, doorstep of the Super Bowl Falcons team, they were, I think it was 29th or 31st in the league in rushing attempts that year. It was all about Dirk Koetter airing it out to Roddy White, to Julio Jones, to Tony Gonzalez. He went pass first. Jaquizz Rodgers and was a rookie that year. He was the guy with Michael Turner, and he carried the most of the load on third down. I talked to him about this, and he told me, Jaquizz said, it feels like that 2012 team in the sense of that's the way Dirk Koetter's going to approach it. He wasn't giving me any guarantees. Quiz is not a guy to make bold statements and be anything other than whatever the coach wants, kind of coach speak. However, that's the feel here, and I believe Koetter is going to do that. I believe we're going to see a run-second offense, and Koetter's going to play to his strengths. And frankly, when you have Jameis Winston and you've got all these weapons, it is criminal not to use them. You have to send that ball to these receivers. That's what you're paying them for. That's why you have DeSean Jackson. That's why you've got Mike Evans. That's why you drafted O.J. Howard and hugged each other and ran around like it was the biggest steal since I don't know what. You've got Cameron Brait, led the NFL in touchdowns for tight ends. Charles Sims is healthy. The guy's an electric weapon out of the backfield if you know how to use him. I'm not saying you don't run the ball. However, a serious passing game is going to create these seven and sometimes six-man boxes. And I didn't even mention Chris Godwin. So I think Dirk Koetter goes to the strengths. He's going to go to the strength. As much as he would like to be balanced, as much as he likes to say, Dirk Koetter likes to say that he spends a lot of time when he studies other teams, he goes to the Titans and Mike Mularkey and their run-first, pounded approach. That's the model for Koetter. He's told me this to my face, Mike Mularkey and the Titans and the way they operate. But we don't have those running backs. We don't have that the power in the backfield that the Titans do. And we have more weapons on the outside. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I'm looking for. And I think that's a matchup win for the Bucs against a Dolphins secondary that's very shaky. Alteron Verner might be starting on Sunday. Alteron Verner. So that's what I'm looking for, and we're going to come back on Monday, and I'm going to crow about how the Bucs threw the ball more than they ran. Although, frankly, if they get a big lead, which is what we're hoping, then they can go to their horses, Peyton Barber, the big guys, Barber and Jaquizz Rodgers. And I say that figuratively, since Rodgers is not a big guy, but pound the ball, pound the rock, run the clock out, and get that done. And use Ali Marpet. And hopefully Sweezy will not break down or get too fatigued as he gets his body back for the NFL. NFL rigors coming off back surgery. But it's going to be a fun thing to watch. I think that's where the matchup win is, in the air against the Dolphins and shutting down the run game. And hopefully we make some plays as a secondary in the passing game. Grimes, I'm sure, will be crazy motivated. And Hargraves has had an opportunistic summer, even though he hasn't been great necessarily. He's definitely been opportunistic and has been successful in grabbing a couple of picks. So they're going to need some plays there. So that's it. I think we got a W coming in Miami, and I'm so pumped up for another season here on JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you to Discount Garage Doors. Thank you to Lakeland Auto Mall. Don't forget Sean Sullivan. Give him a call. LakelandFord.com. Get your best price. Internet price on a new car, and then Sean's going to give you an additional $500 off. LakelandAutoMall.com, DGDoors.com for Discount Garage Doors. Listen to Chris Myers with Justin Pulowski. Fantastic podcast. Our podcast family is growing. Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast every Friday and Monday. You've got Ira Kaufman every Tuesday and Thursday. The Scuttlebucks every Wednesday, which is fantastic. And we're retweeting Gil Arcia's podcast, Nerds and Pewter. So a lot of stuff is coming. We even have a new podcast, two of them coming down the line. But I'm Steve Isbitz here with Monday Morning Joe every Monday. We're going to get better, stronger with this podcast. A lot of fun coming. It's going to be really heated and electric because we get to do Monday morning. And that's when it all is hitting the fan after a wild Sunday of football. So thanks again. Thanks for bearing with my voice and all the coughing and near vomiting that you did not hear. And we will see you next week.